مارك السهابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
Here is a clip alone now, Boniface, was a thundering challenge. The US media, you know, they will be complicit in this genocide that has been perpetrated on our innocent Palestinian brothers and sisters. No army, no airport, no nothing. They don't even have a country that they are living, as he said, in a steel cage. They're living in a world, or they're living in a prison in the dunya. No, everything they have, this and that, and looking at all these things, and it's sad indeed. And yes, also we talk about the Jewish Israelis are portrayed as victims on all these media houses. The Western media, definitely a very slanted view. You know, 2 million Palestinians, as I said, are living in a steel cage. And 1967 illegally colonized, these Israeli or Zionist state colonized the Palestinian lands and so forth. And now you can see what's already happening. What's going to happen since 1987? Over 14,000, I mean, the figures must be more, Palestinians have been brutally murdered and killed by the Zionist state of Israel. And all this goes on as we welcome our counselor, Ahmad Parak. Counselor Ahmad Parak, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning? Or could I call it a rainy Sunday, or cloudy Sunday, or windy Sunday morning? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alayhi wa sallam to all our radio listeners on a beautiful Sunday morning. It is cloudy, but it could rain during the course of today. But this is the rahmat of Allah. If the rain comes down, what is happening in Palestine, and Allah make it easy for the women and children of those in Palestine. Allah make it easy. Our prayers are always with the Palestine people, Shafat, because you know what is happening there, what they are doing to us. Inshallah, you know, everyone prays from all over the world, we will be victorious in the end, Shafat, that's for sure. Allah's rahmat must come, because what they are doing to our women and children in Palestine is, you know what, all our, including our Arab countries all over the world, they are sitting quiet and they're only watching, seeing what is happening, instead of saying, you know what, let's assist our women and children in Palestine. Allah will make it easy for them, Shabbat.
Ahmed, you know, that is the bottom line. United Ummah, why should this be done? You know, they're flying with these small, what do you call this, kites with the machine behind that, and they're doing all these things. But what they did in that few hours, they say the U.S. couldn't do in the Ukraine, the amount of land that they've taken. But what worries me now, Ahmed, is the repercussions. I mean, you have done that. But now there's a bigger genocide since 1948. Wellerman said this is going to be an onslaught like none other. So imagine if the Muslim world were united, if we were united as one entity. Ahmad Dida Remullah said, if all the United Ummah spat on Israel, it would have sunk. Ahmad, and we don't have that power.
But Allah has left Muslim all over the world with billions and billions and trillions of dollars in pounds or whatever it is, everything we have been blessed with. And we, if we only unite this genocide, what they are doing to our women and children in Palestine, this should have been over long ago. In fact, you know, we're just falling into the trust of the old Nasaras, and this is where we are today. But with all that, Allah seeing what is happening, and then the time will come, and the time is very, very close. Like you've seen, like last night, what happened, 200 people of the Israelis were killed. And you will see more will happen now, because you know what? People are seeing what is happening all over the world, and see, it, you know, over the years, they can see millions of our Palestinian people were killed. And nobody is standing up. And yet Allah has given us all the wealth. How are we going to answer that question to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shabbat?
A great point indeed. Now, I'm looking at local scenario. I know for a fact that maybe the EFF will say, okay, yeah, I'll be with the Palestinians, or maybe the ANC, maybe, I'm not too sure. But the DA, Ahmad, what's the DA going to tell us?
The DA will always, you know, when we trying to get answers from them for many years.
what is your stance on Palestine? They will never answer. You know, even in government now too, you ask them for anything. They will tell you one thing in the morning and afternoon they'll change like the weather. So, you know, therefore, even now from our 21 election, the coalition is not working in Gauteng or wherever they besides Cape Town. There's nowhere else they now they're trying even very hard to win the KZN in 2024. They got no chance for us that is good because we are a big threat to them. Actually, seeing them threat to them between the ANC and the DA, we are the front runners going to be because we will be the kingmakers in the 2024 election, inshallah. And Shafat, you can never trust them. You can do whatever you want underneath the sun. These people cannot be trusted because we are seeing it now in government, even in 20 municipality where I am. Shafat, they will tell you everything. And in the end, if you don't give them the provision, you just walk away from that at this end. Eventually, we don't get the service delivery. This is where we are today because of them too, because you can't say ANC giving they are the choice. But what they are doing, they have been the opposition government for so many years, for the last 30 years, what they have done. That's the question that the people need to ask as well, Shafat.
No, a good point indeed there, Ahmad. And then, you know, moving on to the Guffin Duffin side of it, what's the latest, Ahmad?
Shafat, very, very good news we got for our community. That machine that we want to bring from the UK, which I had a look at it in January, we have found a manufacturer in the country who will be able to do that machine for us. We don't even have to import it. We don't even have to pay in dollars or pounds anymore. We will be getting that machine, and we are going to get it with a price that is much cheaper than bringing it from overseas. The only snag we have got at the moment is we got everything. We got the scanning machine, what we need to do our post-mortem quick as possible. That has been sorted out. We have got a premises where the structure can be put up. We have made arrangement with a motor vehicle fleet company who is prepared to give us vehicles. They will lease the vehicles so we'll be able to pick up bodies for the Department of Health from their mortuary and deliver it back to the mortuary. That has been sorted out. The only snag that we have at the moment is the legislation in terms of the act in government with the Justice Department and Department of Health, which we are busy working with, and it's going to be a legal contention in that, I can say that we have to take it now. Maybe we have to go through the legal route. And inshallah, I think the timing is very, very right because election is around the corner. And in fact, they might just give in to it. They have to make the changes because end of the day, for us, we are concerned. And we will, you know, when I'm going to go into all the press, in every Zulu press, and in fact, the most important thing, the black community is going to support me fully here because they're not going to have to wait for the post-mortem to be done. Here we'll be able to do like 20, 30 post-mortem maybe more than that in a couple of hours because, you know, the scanning machine does all the work for you. This is a big, big plus factor. And inshallah, we are now, I have met with a legal team that is looking at all the legislation and we know where the blockage is. And I think we will be able to be getting this machine. Inshallah, my aim and objective in the early part of next year, we should be up and running with a model that will be the first in South Africa, first in a country to have a system like that. And inshallah, we'll take it from there, Shafat.
Looking at a message on the screen here, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak and Bruce Chef. Great chat with this man who's full of action. Ahmad, I want to tell you that, mashallah, you've got a great initiative working with our Bilanian Muslim brothers. But shouldn't we have been working with them many, many years ago? Why so late? It may be we didn't have the vision, but better late than never. Ahmad, how do you respond to that?
Shafat, you know, we over the years, you know, we had to see the feasibility and post-mortems, as well as giving in to all the black community in the black township, where we'll be able to set up our own burial service and how they will be able to function themselves and all that. But it didn't warrant us, because if you, you know, yesterday the MIDPA had a meeting, and then a lot of things that came out, because the black community, the black Muslim brothers and sisters came out, and they put everything on the table. What was the problem? Why they cannot get a doctor to come and sanction their death? There was a lot of things that came onto the table. So now we have formed a task team that is going to look into all these things, and we'll say, okay, fine. In Mashu, alhamdulillah, we have already formed a burial society there. There's going to be the rural Islam burial society is there already. The Finnick Guruba has given them the assistance. I helped them with all the paperwork. We made them registrar there. The IBC, Islamic Burial Council, Salim Qazi, have given them a valiant vehicle for their own, which they're going to be using. I'm just sorting the fencing out for them in a, where the one of the secretary stays, where he will be kept by his place because of security reasons. So we sort that out. Now that is going to be our model in Mashu. And from there, we said, okay, fine. We will now look at Amlazi. Then we go to other areas as well. So once we have sorted that out, then we put it in South Coast, North Coast, and they will be able to function themselves. And then the only thing what we need to do from the our side is to make sure to support them fully, how they're running it on a month-to-month, on a week-to-week basis. They will need assistance in terms of financial, because for them to get finance is going to be a difficult issue as well. So we need to help them, and we know, and especially when it comes to coffin work, our people are very, very good-hearted in that sense. They will be able to give us funding to run this organization in all the black areas, especially the Mashu, Amlazi, Inanda, South Coast, North Coast. So inshallah, we'll be able to get this thing up and running. They will become self-sufficient. And my aim and object is also, I'm busy negotiating for a high school that has been redundant in Mashu, that we're going to be, inshallah, we will be able to take that over and open a fully fledged an ulum, where you will be having the principal will be a black Muslim. He will run it. All the teachers must be all everything. We must be only sitting from the back and assisting them only in terms of administration, to assist them to run an institution like how we are running it. And we empower them fully and then leave them on their own, and they must carry on there. They will have a madrasa. They will be able to make a fully fledged alim in 7 years, like how you have Campertown, Talimuddin Madrasa. You get all these other institutions where they're making the 7 years alim. They must be able to do it in their own township. And that's when the people will see that how we do, or how we make students Hafiz al-Quran and make them alim, and the others will come and join us as well and see, you know, how this black brother has now reverted and accepted Islam, and he's become a fully fledged alim, and he'll be able to speak from the member from various masjid in the location as well, Shafa.
Message on the screen here says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaat. I know you well, and I've met Ahmad Pada quite a few times. I'm a revert to Islam and a very successful businessman. I come from the black group. And I want to tell you, Brother Shafaat Ahmad Khan, that Jazakallah for being very cordial with us. You helped us when we had tough times. But I want to tell you now, come to Soweto and see the Muslim businessmen. We are in a position where we can give zakat from our own money. We don't have to go around begging. So I want to know from Councillor Ahmad Parak, when you help us out in our areas like Inanda, Amlazi and so forth, those burial councils, are they under your jurisdiction with perhaps Indian trustees, or are you empowering our brothers to take over and to make themselves some self-sufficient, and tell them to collect money from us also? Don't only depend on Indian money. How you respond to our brother here, Ahmad?
Shafat, if you've seen what I have done, firstly, to answer that, brother, I have formed a trust in Mashu for the Rural Islamic Trust Fund. It is a fully fledged trust, and all the members are all black Muslims. There's no Indian Muslim or anything. In fact, they begged me to come on board. I told them because of conflict of interest, I'm in government, I will not be there. And I purposely, I said, no, I want them to be self-sufficient themselves. So we have to empower them ourselves. So we don't, what we can do is, like what we said, and the brother is 100% right, they will also, because a lot of our black Muslim brothers and sisters, they're in a good standing, they are prepared to fund their own organization. And that's where we want to be. They must be self-sufficient for themselves. They must be able to run everything themselves. We must help them and empower them. That's my aim and objective, sir.
Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. Jazakallah khaira for giving us your Kal Guzari every week. We don't miss it. The whole family listen to you. I want to know from you, how is all the Kabristans? Are our Kabristans still running according to capacity, or is it overfull? Please let us know, because our family has some lands and we are thinking very deeply of donating it for Kabristan or maybe orphanages. Now, Ahmed, your response?
Shafat, alhamdulillah, we have got enough burial sites for now. But, you know, we are now, since we have now opened up into all the township, if whoever has got land, we want to get those that land. I can assist them in terms of getting that thing registered as a cemetery. And if they want to give it as wakaf, that cemetery, and they can say it's for the black community, for our black brothers and sisters, Muslim brothers and sisters. We will barricade that area. We will do all assist them. And also they must bring in the funding, like how we will assist them to fund that thing. But it will be under their auspices. It is their cemetery. They must look after it. We will only assist them in terms of getting all the paperwork and registering on their name, whoever is going to give it. They can keep it in their trust, and that is for their use only. We can also do that. We don't even have a problem with that. But alhamdulillah, far as that is concerned, we are ever ready to do anything wherever land is available to convert that land into a cemetery, Shafat.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafat. Consciously Connected is our show. We live in a Dorpi. I won't tell you which one, but we listen to Mufti A.K. Hussein all the time. Allah bless him. Allah keep him. Truly an alim that we grew up with, and also the shows that come on Markaz Sahaba, we truly appreciate, and especially this weekend show, Straight Talk, and whatever you have, Brother Shafat, it fills up our political thirst. Jazakallah khair once again. Please ask Ahmed Parak, what is he going to do about the water crisis? I have my cousins living there in Tongaat. They are suffering. Hey, Ahmed, what are you doing about Tongaat?
Shafat, first and foremost, the Tongaat issue, you know, after the floods last year, we had a major issue. The city has spent like 80 million, but unfortunately, whatever pumps they bought to get that the water pump house sorted out, there was a massive issue there. They bought that, and those pumps are in fact, they bought from China. It is not suitable for the usage there. That's the reason we're still having this problem. But what I have already earmarked this coming week or early next, in the next 10, 12 days, I would say from here, I've already found a vehicle for them, a truck, a tanker, which will be able to be parked at the prosecutor, Hafez Riaz in Buffaldale. Actually, is there. That vehicle will be parked permanently there. It is for their use in Tonga, Kerala, and Phoenix. That vehicle will be only used, that truck will be only used for their purposes only in Tonga, Kerala, and Phoenix. Whenever there is a shortage of water, they will be able to get water. But if the brothers are still having a problem, if no tankers are coming, they can always send me a message and I will follow it up. Like yesterday, there was a massive problem in Phoenix. There was quite a few areas that did not have water. I'm within an hour, I had a tanker there for them, so that matter was sorted out.
Jazakallah for that, Ahmed. And this message says, I'm fed up with the Zandile Gumed. this lady is wasting all our ratepayers' money, and she seems as if she's going to get away because she's using the same trick as Jacob Zuma used, Stalingrad, Stalingrad. Till the people die and till she dies, she'll still be getting paid for nothing. And she looted all this money. Why, Ahmed, why? No one can do anything to this lady. Ahmed?
Shafat, you must understand, in a legal issue that we have before us with the Janela Gumede, there was 420 million of the BSW money. There's almost 200 witnesses. That some witnesses are being threatened, and you know, we had to get safe houses for them, and there's a whole lot of things. So she is playing a game like Jacob Zuma in terms of keep postponing it, and then threatening the witnesses, and then some of them they cannot get legal representative, so they have to go to legal aid. So all these things take time. So I think, but eventually the judge will make a decision that enough is enough, and that's what they normally do. Even in Jacob Zuma's proceeding, then he said no more postponement. Whether you got legal aid, you don't have legal aid. Whether you got senior counsel, you don't have counsel. We are going to proceed, and that's what. And then a decision will be made. And in fact, we are at a very, very advantage in terms of what is happening at the moment. So I think now the matter will come to an end, I think, before the year ends.
Yes, Ahmed, I'm looking at a message here. It says, Ahmed, what are the latest figures when it comes to unemployment in Durban and surrounding areas? Because I see the whole Durban streets and also our suburbs full of Woonga addicts, from young boys to old men, and from women also peeping into our gardens, wondering when they're going to steal from us. Ahmed, how you respond to that?
The latest statistic in terms of unemployment in the country is just under 48%. But KZN, we're looking at in the region of about 27% of unemployment, and bulk of the unemployment is in the youth. Now, that's where you say there's so much of hunger. Youngsters, female, elderly people are going to street shelters and all that. You know, for them to come from a rural area and come away into the city, it only costs them 10 rand a day. They go and steal something for 200 rand and sell it for 40 rand or 50 rand. They buy drugs. And this is how they live on the street. And people, and you get all our people are feeding them three times a day. And then you'll see if you go to Brickfield Road, they get sandwiches in the morning. When I come to drop my granddaughter in the morning, you'll see that they get sandwiches in the morning and a cup of tea, and they're okay with it. And then lunchtime, somebody is giving them Agni Chow, or somebody gives them in the evening chow. And this is how it's getting on. So this, what we need to do is to put a stop to this, because what we are saying is in the rural area, they must keep them there in the rural area. You bring them into the city, they're making more problem for us in the city, and they're making more mess in the city, and this is where we are cleaning up at the moment as well. In fact, the Metropolis, Home Affairs, the Department of the Labor, the Health Department, they're going right through. There's a special task team that is being put in place, and these old buildings, we want to get them out of there. Those buildings are condemned, so most of those buildings. And Hussein Mulla is involved in iTrump. He's also working very, very closely with the city regarding this. Yeah. And then you saw what happened in Joburg. They cook there, they do washing there, they do everything there. They do the drug business in the homes and those unwanted buildings and all. The owners now, we have put massive fines for them, and then we will close it up completely, and that's the only way we can do Shafat. Because end of the day, you want to find all the things, because they've got free shelter as well.
Our brother says, Ahmed Parak, I recently went to buy flowers to go to the Kabristan. I gazed in wonderment as a pair of skilled hands converted the flowers into a delightful arrangement, like an artist creating a painting on canvas. It was not long before I asked that young man, "Who taught you this?" And he said, "Kalu taught me." And he thanked me, and I thanked him. Kalu did a great job on this young man. Instead of being a thief, yeah, he was selling flowers. And I want to encourage other Muslims to do the same. Ahmad, what's your thoughts on that? Kalu really empowered this young man to do flower arrangements.
Shafat, there's so many young, these guys are from all over. They've been, you know, they've been drug runners. They've been selling drugs in street corners and, you know, this. And yet they are talented youngsters that can be doing, like this guy here, he's a flower, he's selling flowers, he's doing artist flowers. There's so many things you can do, but unfortunately, the problem is because they're getting easy money, and that's where the problem comes in. And you can empower them. There's so much of skill. In fact, in the city, they've got, especially for the youth, there's funding for these youths too. There's bursaries for this fund, for youths too. But nobody comes and takes it up. That's the problem.
Yeah, good point there, Ahmad. And Brother Asad says, Assalamu alaikum. Great chat indeed. And may I bring to your attention, Brother Shafat and Councillor Ahmad Parak, only 7.4 million of South Africa's 61 million citizens pay tax. This means that 11% of our country's population must support the other 89%. This is a non-sustainable funding model destined to collapse. And mind you, those are the other chorbamas that have come here and they're doing business here and they're making so much of bucks that they don't even pay their taxes, they don't pay rates, they don't pay anything. They take their money and they just send it away overseas. Shocking, Ahmad. Do something. Hope that when you are, your action party comes into power, you will close all these leaking taps and gaps. Ahmad, your response?
The ANC government realized this themselves now. In fact, the president made it clear that he wants to send all of Pakistanis back. That is what he said. It took them a long, long time to realize that the foreign nationals are coming here, looting our country, and they're going back here. Some of them, of the Pakistanis and the foreign nationals, they come here, they do the killing here, and they're gone. We got in the region of a couple of thousand cases that we cannot solve at the moment. The reason is because you cannot find them or anything, and these matters cannot be closed. So the problem is they come here, they loot our money from here, they only come here to stay here, they pay rental, they buy food, and everything, whatever they run their business from here, there's no taxes are being paid, there's nothing is being paid, and they just take this money and it's gone there to overseas. So they are actually it's causing a massive problem in terms of our infrastructure in the country as well. That's why our infrastructure is also in a ruined at the moment because of. If you bring one ton, you know, you got a one ton vehicle and you put three tons on it, what happens to it? The same thing is in our city too. We got so much, our city can only take like 20 million people. We're sitting on about 35 million people. Then what happens? So it's causing a big problem in terms of our infrastructure as well. So they are a liability to the country, then an asset to the country. So now it's kind of. Now the minister will be changing the law. In fact, in the next month or so, you will find the new legislation for all foreign nationals are living in a country that they have to reapply. They will be checked through the paperwork from 1994 when they were here. So they'll have to see if they were legal because they came here. They just marry a South African and they get the citizenship and they're more than happy because they became a South African citizenship. You cannot go anywhere in the world like how it's been done there in South Africa. You go there, you go to Australia. If you haven't got money, they don't even accept you there. They want people who's got skill, who's got money to come into the country. They are becoming a liability to this country. And now the ANC have realized that, and that is causing a big havoc in this country. They are putting a stop to it. And they're going to change the legislation as well now.
Yes, Ahmad, look at this message. MashaAllah, a lot of messages are coming through this morning. He says, Ahmad Mandur Sheikh, Ahmad Parak and Shafa'at, I must remind you that because of poverty, these young people are desperate, and through desperation, they turn to illegal activities such as looting, July 2021. their apathy towards the national issues such as voting testify to youth who have nothing to live for. Even now, when government goes to talk in their areas, they chase them. They even chase Ramaphosa. They know this country has nothing to offer. Ahmed, how you respond to that?
Shafat, you know, when we going and speaking to the people on the ground, I've been in the ground for the last couple of months now, I'm going to all areas, and you'll find the youth coming and telling us, you know what, we are unemployed. Yes, on Friday morning I was in Amslanga and Durban North, a youngster came to me with his mother and all, said, you know what, I like this party here, I'm only year 17, I'm going to write my exam, my metric exams this year, and then, you know, I need something to do. I said, there's an opportunity, go to university and do political science, and you'll see, you'll be successful. His mother said, this uncle is very, very right what he's telling you, because there's very few people are doing that political science, so you will be able to empower them. There's so much to be done. When we're speaking to them in on the ground, they will come to you. They say, you know what, do something for us. Do something for us. And we have to keep guiding them. There's so much to be done for this youth. And the youth is our savior in this country, because they are the future leaders of this country. We all be gone tomorrow. But the thing is we have to now, even in ourselves, Shafat, I'm saying, you know, I told you last weekend we had a function at the Musgrave Masjid with all the elders, and we had something like about 45 elders there. A few doctors spoke. There was an advocate who spoke about, they were talking about retirement, what happens in retirement, how many people when they come to retirement, they go sick, they get fatigued, there's no more exercise, their brain is not working. It's the same thing for our youth, and I said to them, that now we have to, the amount of those, between the 45 people we had, the elders, Shafa, the amount of knowledge they had, because they have been through the mill. Some of them were lawyers, they're doctors, they have been through how many patients the doctor has seen, how many cases the advocate has won in the high court. All this talent that were sitting there, I said, you're going to keep all this knowledge with you all in the grave. I said to them, from 2020, from the COVID to now, 97 of our top ulamas have taken parda from this dunya. What? They took all the knowledge with them. You know, I must compliment and give to our late Maulana Harun Sheikh Al-Hadith, Allah give him Jannah. You know, he's been always saying this, and whenever I speak with him, he said, "Pass our knowledge, what you have known, meaning how you do your contacts, how you work, interact with government, how you do things. Teach our youngsters, because one day you're not yet, the legacy will remain that say, that uncle taught me how to do this, that uncle said how to play soccer, how to do football administration, that uncle showed me, it's through him where we are today. That's what you leave behind and share." And Maulana was very right in that. So all his earnings are gone. All that knowledge went with them in the grave, Shafa. That is the sad part. The thing is, we have to teach our students, we have to teach our community, and they're not coming. Especially our Muslim students are not coming. When we're telling them, come, join us in the Dafan Kafan War, in the political side of it. Nobody wants to come, Shafa. That's the problem.
Well, I'm going to share a story. You always have a knack of tickling me when it comes to Maulana Harun Rehmullah. And it was one day, Maulana Harun, "Hey, chef." I said, "Yeah, Maulana, what's the problem now?" He said, "No, man, no problem. Chota Mota wants something done." I said, "What he wants?" He said, "He made a painting. He wants you to give it to Mandela." I said, "But how you know I'm connected to Mandela?" I said, "No, we heard your interview with the..." I said, "Oh, okay." And then the via Fatima Amir and this and that. Chota Mota's painting came and we made the plan A and B and C and something happened. But this is it, you know, he knew the go-to men. So he knew who's who in the zoo and he spoke to them accordingly. So alhamdulillah, it's important. I mean, look at Mufti A.K. Hussein. I mean, I'm truly indebted to him. I mean, he marked his man. He marked me from CII days, and then he brought me to Marcus. And, you know, him and I get along so cordially. And, you know, we have such a good feeling for each other because we want to serve the Ummah in a manner we hope and pray that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most. And as you said, we must play in the Premier League, Ahmad, not in the Imvela League. Hey, all that. So join Ahmad. He'll tell you how to play in the Premier League. A message here says, Ahmad, an important question which must be asked is, what defines employability? Previously, it was thought having a qualification would be sufficient. Today, it is more about, it is accepted that employability includes the skills to identify and solve problems, your ability to adapt to people and to work in a group, and the knowledge and the professional skills to be successful in the workplace. In short, employability is your whole attitude towards life and people, not like entitlement and not like don't question me and not like, you know what, I'm the Don. Ahmad, that's a very good contribution. Your response?
Shafat, you know, today you can have all the degrees in the world. Shafat, you know, what practical is what it takes you through. You can have all the degrees in the world. You can have BA, LLB, you got doctor's degree, everything. That doesn't help, Shafat. In today's world, you need to be, you must be on the ground. You must be able to interact with the people. And that's where you can do things. Other than that, you're not going to, the degree only brings you the money. But if you got a degree, you get the money because the degree talks for you. Because when you're going to apply for a job, because I got this degree, that degree, the money. But in actual fact, with all the degrees, you can't do the work. And you'll get a guy like me with a JC certificate, can do legal. You give me anything, you throw it at me, I will come with a solution and I'll give you an answer to it. Some of these guys, they can't do that. And I have seen now, recently, top lawyers and all that, when we're asking them, you know what, we want this to be done, this will be done. No, you know what we'll have to do? We'll have to give it to an advocate, he must write. So why I came through to you, your lawyer supposed to be sharpshooter, he must be able to know but what to do. Why do we have to go now? You want to pay advocate fee? Then I tell you, no, sorry, I leave it. I will give it to somebody who will be able to do it. And this is where, you know, so you're a lawyer, but you're now giving the work to an advocate. So he's going to fight the case, and what you're just going to take your fees there. And not on anymore.
Yeah, absolutely, Ahmad. That's another story altogether. Firoz Ba says, Assalamu alaikum. Enjoying the chat, Shaf. Ahmad, in hindsight, perhaps it was a huge mistake when Qadir Asman abolished a subject like career guidance shortly after 1994. The destructive effect it had on young people and the future is immeasurable. Since most parents do not have the necessary knowledge. And the other farcical thing is the NASFAS education, where they've been given money, and it is proven that half these students don't even go to university. They drop out, and some of them are there for the past 5-6 years getting funds for nothing, but they're going to parlors and buying cars and so forth. The government has flopped big time, Ahmad. Ahmad, your response?
Shafat, you know that Qadir Asman, when he was the Minister of Education, you know, he changed a whole lot of things. And that was one of the biggest mistakes in abolishing a lot of acts and everything else. And he wanted to make it simplified especially for the black community. And that's where the problem has come about. Today, they are suffering because there's no guidance in our education system. If you take in the old days, you know, whoever came out, if you went to Island View, there was a college there. And most of our top lawyers, and they came out from that. They used to take the ferry from the harbor and go to Island View. And they studied there. And they came, top bankers came out from there. Top attorneys came out from there. Top people came out from there. But today, when they changed this, they got higher education and they got minister for this education and minister for that. That is all a money-making scheme that was. And that's just to create work for the ANC and the Iraqis. But the whole system, the whole education is in a shambles at the moment. Look at our universities and all. You see the foundation of our university. You go to West University, you go to any one of our Westville University and all. See the condition of all these universities today, and then you'll see for yourself how these students are still learning in these universities.
No, absolutely, Ahmed. And, you know, there's a message that says, at the heart of many South Africans, the current problems are institutional failures born not primarily of the personalities and characters that run them, a good, honest versus the bad and the corrupt, but of the way that they have been designed and structured. Let's be honest, Ahmed, that all these entities are milking cows for these chores that are running our government. Even Eskom is a billion rand looting scheme for these people that have no shame, that have no empathy, that have no sympathy, who do not have conscience. They are milking us everywhere. Even the price of petrol, they're making money out of that. They're making money out of the VAT and everything that you can think of, taxes and GST. Please, Ahmed, what can you offer when your man gets into power?
Stefan, you know, we have got a policy. Action India has got a policy, and if you look at what our policy is, Stefan, first and foremost, the whole system, the ANC, it is all about looting, and nothing else. And you'll see all the comrades in the government, it is all interweaved, interlinked, and they know how to cover for one and all of them. And if you see just now, recently you had a Women's Day last month. It was the Women's Day, right? And if you see, they spent 5.4 million rand in hiring the ICC. And you won't believe it, Shafat, this was for the Women's Day. ANC, how they did it, such a way they went to the Ekurhuleni municipality, and they made it the ANC Women's League Day. So if it's a party, then the party must pay for itself, for they must pay for it. Why should the Ekurhuleni municipality and the ratepayers must pay for it? We put a stop to that, and we brought them to book now. They don't know where to turn, and they're fighting. They're trying everything to see how they want to stop it, because their name is old now. You see how this chore, Machane chore, how they find ways into the system. They thought nobody would pick it up, and they made an invoice the Ekurhuleni municipality to pay for it. We say, no, we're not going to sanction that. We're not going to pass that. You brought it under the ANC banner, so the ANC must pay for it. Why the council must pay for it when it's the ANC event? So this is what happened. Those people are in government. They don't know anything but to stay in government, and you'll find all the people that are in government. They must be serving 15 years, 20 years term in government, because they have already gone into the system, how to loot the system and how to beat the system in government, and it comes before parliament, and they, because of the number game, they always get it passed, and that's where, even in Ekurhuleni municipality, we getting bombarded, we'll stop a whole lot of things. We abstain in that decision making. We vote against that decision, and we get butchered. The reason is because the ANP and the EFF are partners now, and the smaller parties, they joined them, so we get outvoted. So what we didn't want to get passed, that got passed, and that money now have to get released because it was majority rule. This is the problem that we are facing. This is why I'm saying 2024 election is around the corner. Make sure we vote the right people in government. Bring the ANC government down to under 50%, and then you have a good coalition, and then we'll be able to run the country. And you bring you bring my president, Herman Mashaba, upright, straight, who knows, he's in business, he knows how to run. When he was the mayor of Gauteng, you'll see, Shafat, what the turnaround. In fact, I'm going to give you the book that he wrote on when he was the mayor, and how he turned Gauteng in 2 years, what he did, a complete turnaround. Because Zenal Heller it is a dictator. He couldn't take that anymore, because if you don't follow her way or the highway, you need to be out. And he decided he'd rather go and form his own party where he will make a difference, and that's what we are doing. And when we came into 21 first, we only fought 6 municipalities. How many seats we got today? We got 44 seats in only 6 municipalities. So that is a factor, and we're making a difference. In Action SA, you have to deliver. That is our aim and object and nothing else. That's where we come in. We think we don't want anyone who cannot deliver in coming there to keep the seat warm. No, we're not interested in that. We are interested in going to government. You have to work like any government in Kiguni municipality. Hey, workshop at end of the day, we are making a difference for the community. That is the difference.
This message says, Assalamu alaikum. Gripping stuff indeed, Brother Shafaz and Ahmad. Keep it up. Great politicking also. The hallmark of Zuma years, Ahmad, indeed, was a defining characteristic of state capture, was not corruption, but of halting and reversing such a momentum. Radical economic transformation, it turned out, was a reactionary politics that favored patrimonialism. And I want to tell you that if you compare Jacob Zuma to Cyril Ramaphosa, Jacob Zuma is like an angel in front of this Ramaphosa. Your comments, Ahmad?
Shafat, you can ask anybody that question, and that his brother is asking the right question. Zuma, when he was in power, he was a master, because from where he comes, he was exile, he was intelligent. That's why when he comes to all these court matters and all that, how he's spinning the judges, how he's spinning the National Prosecuting Authority, because he's a master at that game. And when he was there, he did like the apartheid government. He stole with his comrades and all, he stole quite a bit. Then he brought the wrong people on board. He brought the Guptas. The Guptas were here before before Zuma. The Guptas were here when Mandela was in power. So, you know, he didn't only bring the Guptas. The Guptas were already there. And they were penetrating into this whole government and everything. And he let it go through too, because it was benefiting them in this whole ANC government and everything. That's why they left them, because they needed the money. Now, like, if you take Ramaphosa, he went now to America, he went to China and Russia, already brought in millions and billions of rand to fight this election. So for them to stay, and these goras, you give them, you promise them something, and you get into government, you have to deliver. This is the problem. That's why China is giving money left, right, and center, for the same reason, because they know if you can't pay them, they will take your airport away, they'll take your harbors away. What's going to be left? Because they will be able to control what is going in, what is going out. They're too sharp, the Chinese and Shafar. So we're not reading in between the lines yet. That's where you're going to get caught. And this is the problem. So we need to make sure that who our investors are mustn't come and loot, because this country has got lots of wealth. You've got gold, you've got coal, you've got silver, you've got minerals, you've got, now we even got oil. So this is why they want to come in here. These Americans are not stupid to come in here to invest in this country. Although the things they say, South Africa is going to get, green listed and everything else, but long and short, why they still want to come in here, this country, when they know there's a problem with load sharing, there's problem with water. They're coming to invest because they know they want to take the wealth of this country, and that's what they do. What they did in Iraq, what they did in Libya, what they did in Afghanistan. They only go for the wealth, Shafa. They're not interested in anything else, Shafa.
No, absolutely. And a great chat with you this morning on Straight Talk, Ahmad. Perhaps your parting words?
Shafa, I still maintain all these brothers are giving us all these questions. Very importantly, the 18 and 19, the voter registration is going to open. they must go and register themselves. And these questions that they are raising will be making much easier when they will have a say in the 24 election. That will make it easier to get the right people. And we're not going to be, we won't be talking about this after election next year. Then they are compelled to ask the people that I voted for you, and now I want service delivery. There must be an action plan put forth after the 24 election, Shabbat.
Now, Amin Ahmed, you have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.